I was sitting there looking. I said, if all of you come, there wouldn't be room to hold Holy Week this year. If those of you who are here today, if you come to Holy Week, there won't be room. We'll have to put chairs out. Amen. Because people are gearing up to come. Great preachers are lining up to come and preach for us the Word of God. And the Spirit of the Lord is promising to be with us during Holy Week. I was just shocked when I learned today that next Sunday is the first Sunday in April. My goodness, time is flying. But somebody says time goes by when you're having a good time. And how many of you can say, I'm enjoying Jesus? Just enjoying Jesus. Enjoying Jesus. Amen. I want to go to Isaiah chapter 55. We read the text earlier. Sorry, you may remain seated if you please. It says, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. I want to stop right there, and I want to talk this morning about the Lord of glory. The Lord of glory. If you really wanted to get out of here fast, I could say God is a good God. And I see somebody got it over there. And somebody would holler, yes, he is. And that's the bulk of what this message that Isaiah gives to us is today. The last chapters of Isaiah's great work are just filthy rich in promise. Because of the Lord's glory, and because of the Lord's excellence, we have the great and precious promises of the Lord. These promises enable us to share in his divine nature. We used to sing, to be like Jesus. These promises enable us to escape the world's corruption. A lot of stuff going on around us. But isn't it amazing how God protects us? How God takes care of us? Who am I talking to that just understands how God just looks out for us? Don't you sleep better knowing that he's looking out for us? it from day to day? And how do we make it from week to week? We make it standing on the promises of God. As a matter of fact, I just like how the old church used to sing that hymn, standing on the promises of Christ, my King. Through eternal ages, let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, I cannot fail. Fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all and all, standing on the promises of God. The text begins with an invitation to experience redemption. And I think the reason why the Spirit is just sort of hovering over us this morning is it's not just church today. It's an experience. And the text is inviting us to experience redemption. He's inviting us today to experience salvation, to experience deliverance. You really don't have to stay in the shape that you're in. Wherever you are, you don't have to stay there. He wants us to experience deliverance, experience liberation. God wants to free us. God wants to release us, experience emancipation. God wants us to break loose from on the inside. Experience being rescued. The text concludes with the picture of the glory that will come with the history's end. Isaiah touches on the aspects of God's eternal purpose. A question was asked earlier this morning, what is my purpose? Why am I here? But even more, the text today, Isaiah touches not on why am I here. And he does not touch on my purpose, but today he touches on the purposes of God. He talks about, first of all, in chapter 40, verse 10, he talks about the sovereign Lord. That's one of the purposes of God. He's a sovereign Lord who will come with all power. It's good to know that all of the power is not in D.C., it's good to know that all of the power is not downtown Rochester. But the sovereign Lord will come with power. Then he says the Holy One will bring judgment on this earth. We might be seeing a little bit of that now when we see tornadoes in places that we've never seen. Hurricanes in places that we've never seen. Wind storms in places that we've never seen. Isaiah calls him the God of Israel. He says he will make barren land rich. God has a way of opening up the floodgates of heaven and letting it rain down on places that have been barren and dry. Isaiah says, he says here, not only is God's purpose to show us that he's sovereign and to show us that he's the Holy One of Israel and that he's the God of Israel, but he's the warrior Lord. We like to look at God as just a God of peace, but he's the warrior Lord, and will triumph over all enemies. God is in charge. God is boss. God is bigger than our biggest enemy. God is still in charge. You want to fight? Start one with God. And I suggest to you that our arms are too short to box with God. The Republicans' arms, the Democrats, the president, Paul Ryan's arms are too short to box with God. Somebody said in the song, whatever the problem, take it to the Lord in prayer. Not only does Isaiah call him the warrior Lord, he says he's the Savior who will bring all Israel back from captivity to the promised land. God has a way during this Lent season of bringing us back to him. I'm not sure what God is doing, but I have a sneaky suspicion that God is drawing us back. That God is bringing us closer to him. Isaiah calls him Israel's king who will blot out all transgressions. He calls him the Redeemer who will pour out God's spirit on Israel's descendants. He calls him the servant who will not only restore Israel, but Gentiles as well will know God's salvation. He calls him the Lord who will comfort Israel. That's kind of how David describes it when he says, the Lord is my shepherd. He says, the Lord will comfort Israel, and the Lord will bring joy, and the Lord will bring peace, and the Lord will bring hope. Somebody don't say man, that the Lord will bring comfort, the Lord will bring strength, the Lord will bring peace, and the Lord will bring joy. The sovereign Lord will cause the Gentiles to acknowledge the favored position of Israel as God's chosen. The righteous Lord will establish justice. It's an interesting text. Maybe you haven't looked at this 55th chapter of Isaiah. It's an interesting text. The Israelites were being sent on a rebuilding project. And they were sent on a rebuilding project back to Jerusalem. God is going to use them to pave the path for the coming Messiah. He's going to use Israel to work out the kinks. There's only one problem here, and the problem is those that God chooses to use in the text, they have nothing. That's the only problem. They've been assigned a great duty. They have been called upon by a great God. They have been given a great responsibility. A lot is resting on their shoulders, and they have nothing. They have no money. The Bible says they got nothing. They have no money. They have no resources. They have nothing. Come here. Have you ever had responsibility to rest upon your shoulders and you didn't have nothing? You had no money, but you got responsibility. You got things to do, but you have no money. You have places that you must go. The Bible says they have a project to build, and that's bring Jerusalem back. They got work to do, but they got nothing. Well, let me ask you something. Well, let me tell you something, rather, being at nothing, being at the place called nothing, is really not a bad place to be. God has a way of taking nothing and making something out of nothing. I mean, my mentor Jasper Williams says it like this, that God reaches back into nowhere and grabs something that comes from nothing and just sort of throws it out into somewhere stands back and looks at that nothing that was thrown into nowhere and calls it good and very good. God has a way of taking nothing and making something out of it. I'm talking to some folk in here. You've been called nothing. You've been called nobody. And isn't it amazing how God took that little nothing that they called you and made something out of you? I know you don't want folks to think that you were different from where you are now, but the truth of the matter is, all of us come from nothing. All of us have surprised a whole lot of folks. Who am I talking to that will be a witness? I've said this so many times. I was preaching in Columbus. Boy, classmate met me there. I said, what are you doing here? He says, I'm a photographer. I'm taking pictures downtown. I'm taking pictures of the bridges. I'm taking pictures of the skyline. I'm a photographer. My high school classmate looked at me. He said, what are you doing here? I said, I'm preaching. He said, you? Preaching? Tricky Ricky? Preaching? He said, you're not fit to preach. I told him these words. I say, I told God the same thing when he called me. And he called me anyhow. I'm talking to some folk in here who understands what it means to have responsibility on your shoulders and have nothing. Gotta raise a child, gotta raise a son with nothing. You've got to raise a daughter with nothing. You've got to try to get through grads, undergrad with nothing. Get through school with nothing. I'm talking to some folk who were just like the people that Isaiah is talking about. God put some responsibility up on your shoulders. Nothing is not a bad place to be. It's because you cannot be independent with nothing. You must be dependent when there is nothing. And sometimes God puts us in a place where we cannot depend on anybody and anything but the Lord. I mean, come here. Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge God. I don't care how much nothing you got, just acknowledge God. And God will direct your path. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 9 says, the Lord, come here, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise as some count slowness, but is patient toward us and not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. In other words, he's an on-time God. And he may not come when you want him. But he's not slow as some folk count slowness. He may not come when you want him, but I ought to have a witness when I tell you he's always on time. God had to remind Israel of his promises. He just had to remind Israel of his promises. God has sometimes to remind us of his promises. And I hear God saying to us, hang your whole life on the promises of God. You can hang your hat on the promises of God. Come here. I'm about to get happy now. In other words, if God said it, can I get a witness here? If God said it, I mean, take out the little part about God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. If God said it, that settles it. Verse 1, he says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Notice in this text, it's not an invitation for everybody. It's not an invitation for everybody. It's not an invitation. This ain't whosoever will come. I mean, this is, he says, to everyone that thirsts. God's blessings is likened to the renewing power of water. God's blessings is likened to the refreshment of summer rain. You know, when I lived in Arizona, just a drop of rain, just a drop of rain, and folk would open their doors, and some folk would stand outside. Wouldn't rain but a minute, but some folk would stand outside and let it rain, let the raindrops fall on them. 100-degree weather, 110. I mean, people out playing golf, it started raining, and folks were glad that it was raining because it reminds us of the glory of God. God's blessing is like the summer refresh, the refreshment of summer rain in Arizona. Water in the Bible represents the word of God. Israel drank of the word of God when they drank water in the wilderness from the rock, which represented the Lord of glory. His text to prove, Exodus chapter 17, verse 6 says, behold, I stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it that the people may drink. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14 says, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. How so? As the waters cover the sea. In other words, God's going to take care of his. This text shows us promises from God that don't cost us a thing. This text shows us promises of God that don't cost us a thing. As a matter of fact, he invites those who don't have anything. This is your text. Those of you who have surrendered yourselves, this is your text. This is what he promises. First of all, he wants to feed us. God wants to feed us. He said to Peter, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my lamb. Not only does God want to feed us, God promises to lead us. Old choir used to sing, let Jesus lead you. Why? Because he's a mighty good leader. Not only does he want to feed us and he wants to lead us, God wants to forgive us. It's in this text. You know, we got people, we made church hard. Now, we got people thinking that God is like the boogeyman. That God is just waiting to get you. But God is not waiting to get you. God is waiting to forgive you. He says, come, those of you who thirst, come. It's an invitation to receive God's promises. Verse 1, verse 2, everyone who thirsts, he says, come to the waters. He has spoken to the nation, and now he speaks to our soul. The Lord of glory spoken to the nation. He speaks to our soul. He speaks to your soul. He speaks to my soul, and he says, come. In this Lenten season, don't let it go by without coming to me. God told Israel to enlarge his tents and to lay a rich foundation. Isaiah chapter 44 verse 3 says, the Lord of glory says these words in his promises. He says, I will pour water on the thirsty lands. I will pour streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your offsprings. I will pour my blessings upon your descendants. God promises in this text that I'll bless the land. I'll bless the ground. I'll bless your offsprings. I'll bless your descendants. And here are folk who he's talking to, folk who have nothing. I think I'm in here by myself this morning. I say, he says, I'll bless your land. I'll bless your ground. I'll bless your offsprings. I'll bless your descendants. And you don't have to have anything. All you got to do is just come unto me. He says, come to me, every one of you who thirst. Are there any folks in here who just thirst? He says, come to me, everyone. And then he gets specific. He says, everyone who has no money. Well, he cuts out excuses, because we will use money for an excuse every time we get ready to do something. Money, no gas, money, no food, money, no nothing to wear, money, no place, no way to get there, money, I don't have anything, don't have nothing, no money, no clothes, I don't have what others have. He says, you are the ones who should come. The Lord of glory says, he has, the reason you should come is because I have everything. The Lord of glory says, I will provide for you. He says, I will take care of you. And he says, I'll hold you up. The Lord of glory provides for, here. He provides for the poor. He provides for the maimed. He provides for the halt. He provides for the blind. He provides for whoever can be picked up out of the highways and hedges. God provides. In Christ, there is enough for all and enough for every one of us in Christ. Text says, he that has ears, let him hear. But in order to receive of the glory of God, in order to receive the cares of the Lord, in order to receive the protection of the Lord, the provisions of the Lord. I mean, it's there, but in order to receive the provisions of the Lord and the power of the Lord and the prayers of the Lord and the posture, because God tells us that we sing the song that says that let me lean on you. But God also says, I'll lean on you. But he says, in order to get the posture of the Lord, you must thirst. You must long for the glory of God. You got to crave for him. You got to hunger for him. You must desire him. You must ache for him. God Almighty, you got to hurt for him. You got to long. Who am I talking to? Feel some aching for him. Everybody is welcome to the gospel of grace. But when the gospel of grace is welcomed by you, that's when he answers to your call. You're welcome when he is welcome. He says, come unto me. There are those who are satisfied with the world. There are those who are satisfied with the world's enjoyment. There are those who are satisfied, who seek not for a happiness in the favor of God. Those who depend upon the merits of their own works. And then you got those who depend upon their own righteousness. There are those who see no need to have Christ and his righteousness. In other words, I'm trying to tell you, there are those who do not
thirst. But those who thirst are invited to the waters. Just as those who labor and are heavy laden are invited to a Christ for rest. He says, come unto me, all you who labor. And all of you who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. But then he says, those of you who thirst after me, you come to me and I'll give you provisions and I'll give you protection and I'll give you power and I'll pray for you and I'll give you posture. But you got to thirst for it. I'm getting ready to leave. When God gives grace, he first gives a thirsting after it. Where he has given a thirsting after, he also gives that desire. Psalms 81, 10, he says, I am the Lord who brought you up and out of Egypt. He says, open your mouth wide and I will fill your mouth. And so whither you are invited, he says, come to the waters. He says, come to the water side. He says, come to the ports. He says, come to the quays and come to the wharfs. He says, come to the navigable rivers and come where the goods are imported. Joy, he says, come where the goods are imported. I'll leave you when I tell you joy is a good that comes from the Lord of glory. I know we like for it to be the houses. We like for the prize to be fine clothes to wear. We like for the prize to be stuff that people see. But when he says the joys, the goods are important. The text teaches us that joy is a good that comes from the Lord of glory. Peace is a good that comes from the Lord of glory. Harmony is a good that comes from the Lord of glory. Reconciliation is a good. You know, just being able to work through the problem, that's a good that comes from the Lord. Ceasefire is a good that comes from the Lord. Stillness is a good that comes from, sometimes you just need to be still. There is a writer who says, while you're trying to figure it out, can I get a witness when I tell you God has already worked it out. And so stillness is a good that comes from the Lord of glory. Tranquility is a good that comes from the Lord of glory. Goodwill, being able to do good to those who despitefully use you. That's a good that comes from the Lord. And then being able to be calm in the midst of a storm. That's a good that comes from the Lord. And so I leave you when I tell you, he says, one, he says, calm. You know, God really does not have to invite us to come. because he's such a big God. In other words, he's so high that you can't go over. He's so low, you can't go under. He's so wide that you cannot go around. And look at this big God saying, come. You know, God is so big that he does not have to bid us to come. He could reach out and get us and bring us to him. But you know, throughout the Bible, he says, whosoever will, let them come. And in this text, he says, those who are thirsty, let them come. In other words, God is saying, if you make one step, and that's why I leave you this morning, if you make one step, I don't care what's going on in your life, if you make one step, the Lord will make another. You don't need money in order to come to Jesus. You don't need a credit card in order to come to Jesus. You don't need food stamps in order to come to Jesus. You don't need a debit card in order to come to Jesus. But he said, those who have nothing can come to me, because he is the fountain that's open. He is the rock that's smitten. He says in this text, come to the holy ordinance. He says, come to the streams that make glad the city of God. Come to the Lord of glory. He says, wait a minute. He says, and when you come with nothing, I'm going to give you water. And this water is going to cause you to believe in the glory of God. And when you believe in the glory of God, you won't just have water. But look in the text, he says it'll also be milk. It'll also be wine. It'll be abundantly refreshing. He says, come to the healing waters. Come to the living waters. Whosoever will come, let him come and partake of the living waters. And then he says in this text, he says, when you come, I want you to make a purchase. Don't forget, you came with nothing. You came and you didn't have a dime. And God says, come, and when you come, make purchases. Can I get a witness here? He says, come, and we can assure you that you'll have a good bargain. He says, come, and buy. Buy means to accept it. Buy means to believe it. Buy means to subscribe. Buy means to obtain. Buy means to fall for. Buy means to swallow. What I'm trying to hear him saying is, there are some of us come to church every Sunday, but we haven't bought it yet. We still don't believe
We still haven't accepted it. We still haven't subscribed. We still don't fall for church. We still don't swallow the gospel. And Jesus says, come. And when you come, by the gospel, by accepting the gospel, by the gospel, by believing the gospel, by the gospel, by subscribing to it, by the gospel, by living by it, by the gospel, by walking by it. And that's when I found out you don't have to have money in your pocket to walk right. You don't have to have money in your pocket to live right. You don't have to have shoes on your feet to walk with God. But just come, I tell you. He said, just come, I tell you. But if you're not thirsty, sit right there. If you're not hungry, sit right there. But those of you who are thirsty, he says, come. Can I get a witness here? I'm so glad I got a witness when I tell you I came to Jesus. What about you this morning? I came to Jesus. Is there anybody here can say, Lord, I came weary, but I came. Trouble in my home, but I came. I had a bowed down head, but I came. Is there anybody here can say, Lord, I came. I came to Jesus. And then he says, buy it. Walk like God. Love like God. Forgive like God. Understand as the Holy Spirit teaches you to understand. Isn't that good news? I said, isn't that good news? Is there anybody here can say, I'm glad I came? Is there anybody here can say, I'm glad I came? Does anybody love the Lord? Does anybody love the Lord? If you love him, say, yeah. Ain't he good? Ain't he good? Ain't he good? Is there anybody here can say, I bought it one day. I bought it one day. I didn't have a dime, but I bought it. I started accepting the word of God. I live by the word of God. I walk by the word of God. I pray by the word of God. Is there anybody here? Ain't he good? Ain't he good? I said, ain't he good? I said, ain't he good? I said, ain't he good? Yeah. It's the Lord of glory. I got it when he says, come with nothing. Don't bring your money. Don't bring your checkbook. Don't bring your credit card. But come. And when you come in with your hands empty, and when you come in with your pocketbooks empty, I want you to buy some things. I want you to buy into love. I want you to buy into forgiveness. I want you to buy into holiness. I want you to buy into communication. Any good? Any good? Any good? Yeah. How did that happen now? I said, ain't God good? Thank you, Jesus. Is anybody here can say, I came to Jesus? Lift your hands and say, I came to Jesus. Lift those hands and say, I came to Jesus. I came to Jesus. He made me glad. He made me glad. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. That's all I got to tell you today. Listen, is he wants us to come empty-handed, and then he wants us to buy it by his love. And we don't buy it with money. We don't buy it with dollars. We don't buy it with gold. We don't buy it with silver. Isn't it good to know that there's nobody in here, I don't care where you work and what you got saved up, you can't buy no more than I can buy. I can buy just what you can buy when it comes to the Holy Spirit. He says, come in and buy. The doors of the church are open. There's somebody here today, you came just like Jesus said, come. He says, come thirsty. He says, come hungry and come with nothing. And when you come with empty hands and empty purses, there is something that I want you to buy. And you're fully able to buy it because I have made provisions for you. Amen. I've made a way for you. So the doors of the church are open. Would you come? Who am I talking to today? That you want to come with nothing, but just a thirst for God. If you're here today and you will come with a thirst for God, the invitation is extended for you to come. If you will come with a hunger for God, the invitation is extended to you. If you will come saying, Lord, I don't have silver, but I come. I don't have gold, but I come. I come thirsting after this water that you're able to turn into a milk for me, and that you're able to turn into a wine. I come. Who am I talking to today? That will come to Jesus just as you are. The doors of the church are open. Coming to Jesus simply means accepting Jesus. Who will accept Jesus Christ today as your Savior?
I'll provide the sacrifice.
Will you come?
You provide the Spirit.
Will you come? Will you come?
I will open up inside. You provide the fire. And I'll provide the sacrifice.
The doors are open.
If you provide the Spirit. I will open up inside. Fill me up, God. Fill me up. Fill fire. And I'll provide the sacrifice. You provide the spirit. And I will open up the side.
God bless you. God bless you. Oh,
I'll provide the sacrifice.
Oh, yeah.